everybody. This is Jasmine, and welcome back to another episode of Love Girls, the podcast. Say hi, Michaela.
Hello. How's it going?
How are you feeling? I'm excited. We have a really cool guest here today, yes. And I'm a little nervous because this is my first podcast kind of like season, and she is a seasoned radio professional, and so I'm kind of like shrinking in my seat a little bit, but I'm really excited to talk to you.
Yes, Joni is in the house. Joni Abbott of B100, or just Joni, whatever you want to refer to her as. She's amazing. We're super excited to have you here.
She wears many hats. She's a mom. She's a radio host. She does healing with
all things natural health. She is very dedicated to natural health and also has a podcast for that too. But really what's cool is that we're just going to have some honest conversations about body image and what it's like to be a young woman and a woman in today's society.
Yeah, a woman just in general. We're talking about trauma. We're talking about mental health. We're talking about self-care. Mm-hmm. So we're really going to get into it. And Joni has an amazing just sense of self, which me and Michaela really identify with. Mm-hmm. And she's just amazing to listen to.
All the good vibes. You'll feel them.
All the good vibes. And she smells amazing. Side note.
Yeah, thank you. And I have a lot of last names, so that's why we just shortened it when said just Joni, because between on-air names and married names and divorce names and the walk of life, you only I'm just Joni is what I would say to people. And then I was like, well, how do I fit everything I do under this one umbrella? Because I have this natural health world, and I have my mainstream media world, and I have all of the things that I advocate for. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the hardest question for me to answer is when somebody looks at me and says, so what do you do? And I'm like, how much time do you have? So, because I'm a mom to three girls too. And so it's, you know, there are a lot of jobs and things in life, but doing everything that I love.
I like that. So it's like not just like a brand perhaps, but it's like an identity, you know?
Yeah. It's just me, doing all the things that I love doing and just being myself as much as I can be.
How did you get started in radio?
Well, okay, here we go. I started at 17 years old when I started my career. I put two and two together. I loved music, I liked people, and I liked to talk. And I figured, there we go. I can't go wrong. I picked radio. And one of my customers was an on-air DJ. She was a woman in broadcasting. I'd never really met one before other than like a TV anchor at a parade or something. And where I worked in an eyeglass shop. And so I was helping her, and I saw that she was a DJ at All Hit 98.9. And I went, oh my gosh, I listen to her all the time. And I just so happened to have a job shadowing project come up at school. So I thought, okay, this will be a good chance to see if this is my career. Because I liked a lot of other things, psychology and like lawyer. I liked a lot of those things. So I called her up at home, and she said, sure, absolutely. When do you want to come in? And I just died. I thought, this is the coolest thing. Because radio was everything I listened to. I loved to dance since I was a little girl. So I just had the radio on nonstop. I was making mixtapes left and right. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is my chance.
This is it.
So I walked in the radio studio and I watched what she did. And I was like, oh, where do I go to college? So as soon as I graduated, I signed up for college. I went to radio school for about a year and a half. It was a trade school. Mm-hmm. And then got hired at, you know, just like 3 months in, to work at a radio station. It was an oldie station. It was Cool FM here in the Quad Cities. It was really cool. So it was like, you know, the Temptations and the Supremes and a lot of 50s and 60s doo-wop. And and it was, and I love music from all genres. So it was really, it really fit my style and really allowed me to be involved with people as well.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So you kind of just like fell into your passion a little bit. I did.
And it's been a really great platform because it's ushered me into a lot of other things, mm-hmm. from morning shows to middays to afternoons. I've done all of the – I've run syndicated shows. You know, you just learn how to do radio. But that – I had a lot of feedback where I was doing radio, but I wasn't being me. I was morphing into what I thought everybody else wanted me to be. I was at such an impressionable age at 17, you know, you're trying to figure out your identity and what you want to be in life, and do I want to be a mom? Don't I? Do I want to follow my career? And so I became all of those things, but it took me really into my 30s, and now I just turned 40 this last year. It took me until really recently to find that voice and to be okay in my own skin and to talk about things that might be uncomfortable for other people to talk about and do it with a lot of honesty and being able to stand behind what I believe in and how I live my life, and really, kind of incorporate more of my own core values into the job that I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that too. So how did a healthy body image platform become like your thing, your niche?
Something that I talked about. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was really scary to talk about because on mainstream radio, we didn't really have, when I joined the radio world, I didn't really have that freedom. It was more or less like, this is what you're going to say. This is how we're going to say it. You're going to say, 10 in a row next or whatever. And, you get used to kind of in a programming way, just reading the lines.
Right.
And just sticking to the script and getting in there and not really having a lot of artistic freedom. It really, the body image platform happened when I started to realize how it made me struggle every day. Every event that I had to do and that I had to MC or show up for publicly, my first thought was, okay, what am I going to wear? How am I going to look? Am I going to get through this? I mean, the internal banter was an all-day thing just to get me to show up and be – and then I would put on that fake smile even though I was so insecure underneath. Yeah. It was fake confidence. Yeah. And I've learned how to fake my way through every scenario, including red carpet scenarios, feeling like I was falsely confident.
Yeah.
And then it left me feeling drained because I knew I wasn't standing in my own authenticity.
Yeah.
It's weird to know how to perform. It became a performance more than it became my own passion, being able to shine through my own standing in my worth and standing in my self value. It became an easy performance.
I appreciate that so much because you're really speaking to the mission of the magazine.
Yeah.
And I know that there are so many girls and women.
And women. I mean, I still, at 40 years old, I'm still going, okay, Joni, you're not in your authenticity.
Yeah.
You're not feeling confident when you're doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fake it till you make it. But faking it's the problem.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So I identify so much with what you're saying because there's like this want to be great and do great and push yourself and work hard and be perfect, right?
Be everything.
Yeah. But it's a bit damaging inside, And sometimes it gets hard to fake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because there's days you don't really feel it.
Yeah.
There's days where you're like, okay, this right eyeball under here is puffy and I don't really want to be on camera right now. I really don't want to make this appearance.
No.
And I'm noticing the wrinkles are setting in, right? And I'm going, how do I get through this?
Absolutely.
That was the most relatable. That was like a verbal tweet right there.
Like, right. Retweet.
Coding on it. My right eye is puffy. I'm going back to bed. I had gluten, obviously.
Put that on a shirt. My right eye is puffy. I'm going back to bed.
So I relate to you like on a very personal level right now because I miss Iowa 2018. And
yes, you are.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to think about. But there is always this image that I'm supposed to uphold. And I've also gone through adult acne, which is a very strange thing. I've never dealt with that. I dealt with it when I was a teenager, of course. But there are times where I'm like, okay, I don't want people to look at me and be like, oh, well, how is she Miss Iowa? Why did, this image of perfection isn't what that's what people expect when they get this. And it's been really hard to have to put on a face every single day, literally putting on a face of makeup, but then also putting on that face when you just don't feel like interacting with people. And it can be tough. It can be really draining, but I appreciate what you're saying. I do.
Thank you. Thank you. It's like an on-off switch.
Yeah.
You have to be on, and then you're drained, and you just want to shut it off.
Yes.
So I'm curious to ask kind of like both of you how you navigated that, how you navigated those feelings of wanting to switch it on, switch it off, and what advice do you have for our listeners?
Mm.
Oh.
Want to go first?
No, that is all you, because I could use some advice too.
I'll try to think on my feet. I think when I really just focus on being present in the moment and just being grateful for where I am and the opportunities that I've had, like, you know, going to the ACM Awards. It's a red carpet event. It's out in Las Vegas. It's through country music when I was doing the morning show. And then when I wasn't doing the morning show, it was actually when I got the opportunity to do it. A friend of mine just said, hey, I need help with Facebook Lives, and do you want to go with me? I have this extra ticket. And I was like, do I want to go with you? Of course, you know. So, like, I really love those events. They're so fun, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. But then I remembered, oh, my gosh, I have this massive body image issue. Oh, my gosh, I am not the, you know, size 2, 5'10" model that everybody expects when you're walking up in this evening gown. Am I even going to be able to find an evening gown that looks right on me? I mean, it's just the nonstop inner brain that doesn't slow down enough for you to enjoy what's around you. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just step outside of my own self and just turn my, you know, brain off a little bit and get into my heart. Get out of my brain and get into my heart more, because when I stop and I look around and I look at the marvel of being where I am and having either a platform to do, I realize it's not something everybody gets to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just always default to appreciation and gratitude. And once I'm in that space, I'm out of my own way.
Right.
And I'm out of my own ego, because really it's super self-absorbed to be so worried about how we look that mm-hmm. we miss out on being present with other people, and we miss out on being able to interact in the situations that we're in.
Yeah,
it's a weird kind of like a backwards egotistical thing, but it really is. For us to focus so much on ourselves, we miss out on so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked what you said, get out of your head and into your heart. That mm-hmm. spoke to me. Yeah. I wanted to snap when you said that.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, I'm pretty laid back. Anything goes.
Yeah. No, I agree. There are, like I said, I'm sure you understand when there's just, you do not want to go be surrounded by all of these people and being in the spotlight, because they're focused on you and what you have to say. But anytime that I really get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling it, I pray and I ask God just to put whatever words in my mouth that yeah. need to come out at the time. And I always think about the girls who competed for this job of Miss Iowa and how they would give anything to be where I am.
Right.
And that always just reaffirms me, that gratitude again, that thankfulness, and it just keeps you on the right track when you're
yeah.
dealing with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a time and a season and a reason that you're in that position,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I don't know how spiritual you get about things, but like it's like a predetermination or you know, it was just, you are there now mm-hmm. for that reason. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with it?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, like making the most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad gave me a bracelet a few years ago for Christmas, and it says on it, what is for you will not pass you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you practice self-care?
They're quite strange. Are you sure you're ready for this?
I'm excited now too.
So I mentioned that I do a lot with natural health, and I have a podcast as well called Homegrown Health, and I've had that since 2012. And it was after my health failed, and after I had already become a mom, setting those, you know, really bad examples for my kids not to take care of themselves. You know, I had to be everything for everyone and do everything. I had adrenal fatigue, and so I went into an adrenal fatigue crash, which then affected my hormones, which then affected my weight, which then affected my metabolism, and it's still something I'm working on correcting to this day because it's a little complex, and I'm discovering more as I get on that journey. So my self-care includes coffee enemas. I think this is the first time I'm really talking about it in a non-home, like health-related podcast.
Wow.
So yeah, it's not all that I do, but I do them frequently, and it's a time where that allows me to kind of meditate. Mm-hmm. I know that it's good for my body. I know that it's helping my liver release toxins. It was from a protocol that I learned from a doctor who treats patients in Mexico. He can't do it here in the United States, but he does help their body heal from chronic illness and helps bring and restore homeostasis and balance back to their bodies so they can heal. And so they're really, really sick patients that go and see him. And part of the protocol is juicing 20 pounds of vegetables a day, fruits and vegetables.
Oh, wow.
And then the coffee enema is what helps release some of the toxins. It increases something called glutathione in the liver, which helps escort a lot of the detox symptoms that they're having, like a lot of the toxins. So we get overwhelmed with toxins. And so a healthy part of my self-care is just an ongoing mindset that it's necessary. It's an ongoing mindset that I want to keep my body clear and clean. It's what I eat every day. It's, you know, I eat really organic. I eat non-GMO as much as possible. And I feed my body healthy foods that will keep me going, keep me having, you know, the energy that I need to survive and for my body to heal. So one of those things are the coffee enemas. I learned about it over this last summer. And I found like it was a really great time, 15-20 minutes of time. That's just me time. It's relaxing. And I really go into myself and I give my body permission to heal. Mm. I speak to the areas that are, you know, experiencing issues. And I just really, it's almost like a prayer, you know, it's almost like, yeah. All right, you know, this is my healing time. And I play soft music and I just do that. And that's what I do. That's only one of it. I mean, I do hot yoga. I'll do things like body brushing, which can be done at home. I make a lot of things homemade, like little clay masks and things when I can. But time is such a factor for me that I have to usually choose one or the other.
Yeah.
So I try to have a balance of all of those things. But making sure I get brain time, downtime for my brain, meditation, detox baths, hot sauna time. Just anything that is calming, relaxing, and brings me back into myself.
I think it's really cool.
I do too. Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, it's not every day you hear coffee enema. I mean, people get really curious about that.
No, like my ears like perked up. I was like, what? Intrigued.
Yeah. It's extremely.
Yeah. I think that when talking about like mental health and trauma, the magazine focuses on young women. But really, that's an intergenerational issue, and people a lot of times grow up and raise families, and they have never dealt with their trauma or their mental health. And Michaela, I know that you work a lot around mental health, and so I know that probably really resonates with you, what Joni said.
Yeah, it does. Self-care is just so important. I love what you said about just turning off your brain. Because we live in a 24/7 world now when it comes to news, when it comes to social media, everything is so immediate, so right now.
Yeah.
We're not patient with anything. And we also can just get so wrapped up and overwhelmed. And, you know, anxiety and depression rates are so much higher than they used to be, especially among the younger group of, you know, U.S. citizens right now. And it's just so important to be mindful of what's going on.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, that overwhelm can almost become addicting because that's the way of life for so many people. Like adrenaline can actually be addicting.
Yeah.
Drama can be addicting,
just
like a drug. And so we have to really watch out, like even with my girls, when I notice that they are being and feeling overwhelmed with life. When they start acting a little bit differently, I'm like, okay, we have to jump in that conversation. What's going on at school? How are you feeling about homework? You know, oftentimes they'll cry, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm like, I know, right? Like trying to be a young woman and figure out who you are. Like, I remember what that is. Sometimes just having grace. And I give them a mental health option. I give them mental health days. If school is so overwhelming emotionally because maybe they're going through a turmoil with a friend or a bully, right? We've had that in our home too. Or they are struggling with classes. I have one daughter who's in all honors classes, and it can just be a lot of homework. In our country, compared to the rest of the world, we give so much homework and we spend so much time in classrooms. Finland, for instance, they have the number one, you know, they're rated number one academically, and they spend the least amount of time in the classroom with the least amount of homework. So how do they do that? How do they become so smart? And with you know, doing so little compared to what we do here. So I give them all permission to have a mental health day. If life is just getting so overwhelming, isn't it better that they miss one day of school to sleep in, to you know, have counsel with family and friends and stay with people who they can talk to and trust, and or me if I'm able to be there, and just let them feel like they can breathe a little bit. For me, that's better than, you know, making forcing them to push through it all the time, every time. It's giving them permission to pause and to stop for a moment.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, Joni, even just as a woman in media or as a mom, who inspires you?
Of all people right now, and this has been over the last few years, Lady Gaga has really been inspiring to me. Her willingness to speak about sexual assault and her willingness to love. Like, I'm really in love right now with the way that her and Bradley Cooper look at each other, the way that they sing together. There's an honor there. And everything with me usually goes back to some kind of honor, integrity, something that's sacred between people. And it doesn't have to be a romantic thing. You can have friends that you adore just like that. Mm-hmm. But it's an honor. It's a recognizing the gifts in one another and honoring that. And so there's a young poet named Young Pueblo. And he's written a book, and he posts a lot of deeper and insightful, just quick things on Instagram in their little excerpts from his book. Writers like Elizabeth Gilbert, Brené Brown, of course. I'm just inspired by a lot every day. And you keep that in, I can't really narrow it down, but, you know, yeah, my kids, too. They're my greatest teachers.
I have goosebumps talking to you.
Like, me too.
I could sit here and talk, listen to you talk all day.
And well, my kids really could probably just solve that one for you. Like, mom talks way too much everywhere we go. I get it.
Well, they're lucky kids. I mean, everything that you say is so relatable, and I just really appreciate you being here. Me and Michaela,
thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome, guys. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for agreeing to be our host for the 2019 Love Awards.
I am so excited. I'm like, and I've been watching the news to, is it Scooby? Scooby?
Yes.
Scooby? Scooby. Yes, I like to see his personality, and you told me, like, oh, it's going to be fun.
It's
going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun.
Joni and Scooby at the Love Awards.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to Love Girls, the podcast, where every girl has
a story.
A story.
I beat you to it. Bye.